Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to follow along with me this morning, I'm going to be looking at the first four verses of Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, verse 1 says, "For as much as many have taken in hand." Many have taken in hand the gospel. Our Lord has never been without a witness. He has never left himself without a witness of his truth, the truth in his word. And it says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us." Luke says, we were told these things by someone else. "And even as they were delivered unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." He said, "I'm writing to most excellent Theophilus." That name means the friend of God. Luke says, this is who I'm writing to, the friend of God. Verse 4 says, "That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." The certainty of those things. Don't you love the confidence of God's word? The certainty of those things. Absolutely certain, most excellent Theophilus, friend of God. How could we possibly enter into the blessing of being called the friend of God? That a sinful man could be called the friend of God. How amazing is that? That God would instruct us in kindness. He would teach us. In His grace, He would call many, lay hold on many different men throughout the generations, to take the gospel of His word in hand in spite of all the persecution that men have endured from generation to generation for declaring the truth of what God has to say. But He laid hold of many to set forth in order a declaration of those things. And then how kind is it that He would in turn give us a heart to believe those things. He would declare them to us and then give us a heart to believe it. How kind. Look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter 2. This is when our Lord, earthly speaking, was born and the shepherds came to see Him. And it says in verse 16, "They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Those shepherds came and they set forth in order those things that God had said. And Mary pondered them in her heart, pondered all those things. And thank God, by His grace, so do all of His people. All of God's people ponder these things in their heart. Well, after 8 days from this point, they brought our Lord to the temple according to the law, and a man named Simeon was waiting on them there in the temple. And it says in verse 28, "They then took he him up in his arms." Simeon laid hold on the Lord Jesus Christ, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Those glorious things. Now look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter 10. It says in Luke 10, verse 21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many preachers and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. Many, many preachers, they've desired to see those things and they haven't seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Many have, but they have not heard them. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? Our Lord said, these things, many have desired to see them, but they haven't seen them. What a blessing it is that God would reveal these things. Now, in Acts chapter 13, it says in verse 44, Acts 13, verse 44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Now, it's a great blessing when God reveals these things that he has called many to stand up and declare in order, set forth these things. It's great mercy that God would not only deliver those things, but cause a heart to believe them. The reality is, when many hear these things, they reject them. And that's what happened right here. They rejected, they contradicted, they blasphemed God's word after it had been certainly, plainly set forth in order to them. But I want to show you another group of people who did the very opposite. Over in Acts 17, it says in verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. God allowed them to search the Scriptures and find out if these things that had been set forth in order were so. Should they be believed? Should these things truly be believed? The Apostle Paul said, this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, division, so worship I the God of my Father, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. All things. All things. Now go with me back to Luke chapter 1. It says in Luke 1, verse 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Those things which are most surely believed among us. I've titled this message, Things We Most Surely Believe. Things that God has set forth in His Word and are declared in order by His messengers. Things we most surely believe. And God's people believe every word that proceeds out of His mouth. That's what believers believe. If you ask a believer, what is it specifically that you believe? Here, this will be his answer. He'll say, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We could be here forever declaring the things from this word that we believe. We could start at Genesis 1:1, go through every page all the way to the book of Revelation and declare the things we believe. God's people can also declare what they believe in one word, Christ. We believe Christ. I have something, though, that I want to set forth this morning in order. From God's Word, after searching the Scriptures, I found some places that say we believe. All right, our text is talking about how many have taken in hand to set forth in order those things that we most surely believe. I have some places that specifically say the two words back to back, we believe. We believe, and this is what God's people believe. These are not the only things, but for the sake of time in this message, I'm going to declare just a few things that are most surely believed among God's people. And let's see if God has caused us to believe them. Let's see if He's laid hold of us, opened our eyes, opened our hearts, and caused us to believe them. The first one is in John 6. If you'd like to go with me over there, we're going to begin in John chapter 6. It says in John 6, verse 66, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. How terrible is that? How sad is that? How fearful is that? There's a song and it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I feel it. Being the sinner that I am in my flesh, in my own nature, I feel it. And it says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Will you also go away? That reminds me of when the Lord asked Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? This was Peter's answer. He said, thou knowest. Lord, you know. You know. He asked, will you go away? Lord, you know. You know whether or not you've purposed to keep me. You know whether or not you've purposed to lay hold of me and do this wonderful work of grace in me. You know. Now, Peter did answer him right here, and he gave the only other answer you can give besides, thou knowest. Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And watch this right here. He said, and we believe. We believe and are sure. We most surely believe that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what we believe. To believe that He is the Christ, that Christ is to believe He's the God-man. He is the God-man. It's to believe that He is the only mediator between God and man. But He's not just the one who can get man to God, like most believe He is. Well, He can get you to God. No, that's not all that He is. He is God. He is the very God. God is a man. He is God and He is man. A man is God. Think about that. A man is God. He said, flesh and bone. He told His disciples, touch me. A man is God. One particular man. We most surely believe that a man is God. When we think of Moses, Moses was a great man. But when we think of him, do we consider him to be less than God? Sure we do. Moses wasn't God. And we could go through all of these great men in the Old Testament. You could think of David, king. You could think of Elijah, God's prophet, who God sent a chariot of fire to him and carried him straight up into heaven. The Apostle Paul, he wrote half of the New Testament. When we think of these men, do we think of them as being less than God? Absolutely we do. Let me ask you about this man, Jesus of Nazareth. When you think of him, do you think of him as being less than God? Absolutely not. That man is God. That man is God Almighty. Verse 69, Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now this is so important. The Lord Jesus Christ is not God's Son only. Is He God's Son? Yes, He is. He said, my Father. The Father says, my Son. But He's not just God's Son. He is the Son of God, the Trinity. God is three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God because He is God. God is three persons. And we most surely believe that He is the Son of God, the Father of God, the Spirit of God, the Son of God. That declaration comes to God's people, and God's people believe it. He causes them to believe it. Now, the next precious thing that God's people most surely believe is in Acts 15. Acts 15 in verse 1, this is where it says, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. That's what they came saying. Except you be circumcised, you can't be saved. That right there perfectly describes every denomination of religion but the truth. Every one of them, every religion, believes some form of something that says, except you do this, you can fill in the blank. Except you do this or except you do that, you cannot be saved. They have to attach some work to salvation. That's what these men were doing. And they say, without it, you cannot be saved. But Paul and Barnabas, they took in hand the declaration of the gospel. The gospel, to set it forth in order. And they had a large dissension, it says in verse 2, with these men who were trying to preach another gospel. Paul said, there's not another gospel, there's only one. And they disputed with them, and they determined to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders and talk with them about this and declare to them everything that was going on. In verse 6, Acts chapter 15, verse 6, it says, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter, the apostle Peter, rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. In God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He said, this yoke that men try to put on other men, they said, except you do this, you can't be saved. And he said, this yoke of works, that's a yoke of bondage that no man is able to bear. No man. He said, we were not able to bear it. Our fathers were not able to bear it. Why would we want to put it on other men? Trying to earn salvation. Trying to work hard enough to become a child of God. Men and women believe that's what they need to do. I think that I'm supposed to work hard and I'm supposed to do good so I can become one of his children. That's a yoke that no man or woman is able to bear. None. Do these scriptures right here teach good works? Absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. The instruction and the commandment of God is crucial. The scripture says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he corrects, he teaches. But not one time has he ever required anything from a sinner in order for that sinner to become his child. I'd like to repeat that. Not one time has God ever required anything for a sinner to become his child. He's never said, if you want to be one of my children, you have to do this. Never. Any more than any father would look their own child right in the eye and say, you have to do this if you want to become one of my children. That's an impossibility. He's speaking to his child. That child already is his child. So here's the second thing that God's people most surely believe. Verse 11, right here in Acts 15, Peter said, but we believe. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Peter said, salvation is by the grace of God. That's what we believe. Grace means gift. Grace means kindness. Grace means favor. Through the gift of God the Father giving His own Son, and through the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ laying down His own life for His people, giving His own self, giving His own body, giving His own blood, and the favor that we now have with God through Christ the Son, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how a man and that's how a woman is saved. That's how we were saved. That's how all of God's people are saved. We most surely believe that our Lord Jesus is indeed that Christ. That Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is indeed God's Christ. And we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how a sinner is saved. Through His gift, through His work, that's how a sinner is saved. Free justification through Him. All right, now here's the third thing that is most surely believed among us. It's over in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 8, it says, now, if we be dead with Christ, that free gift of God giving His Son, and the kindness of Christ laying down His life. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Paul said in Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, but it's not I that live. It's Christ living in me. That's the life of a believer. That's the life. Christ lives in us. And the life which we live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. That's our hope. Our hope starts with Christ. Our hope ends with Christ. These are the things that have been most surely declared, taken in hand, set forth, declared to us, and by God's work, believed by us, by God-given faith. This is our hope. This is our life. We died with Him. That's our hope. We died with Him. Not that I'm going to do enough good on this life for God to be happy with me. Here's a believer's hope. I died with Him. God looked at me and said, you have to die. And God put me in Christ, and in Christ God killed me. Justly, rightly, I died with Him, but I arose with Him. When He arose, He brought me with Him. I arose with Him, and now I live with Him. I live in Him. In Him, we live, and we move, and we have our being. We most surely believe that. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then He asked the question, believest thou this? Do you believe this? Do you believe these things that God's Word sets forth so perfectly in order? Do you believe this? God causes His people to say, yes, Lord, we most surely do. Yea, Lord, in Christ we most surely do. Thank God for these things. Thank God for the heart to believe these things. Until next week, may the Lord bless these things to us for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.